It was April, and all Monticello was stirring. But in their cabin, Mama had just put baby Maddie down to sleep, and she told Beverly and Harriet to be still. Beverly did not want to be still. Harriet reached under the bed for the box where she kept things and pulled out the sampler Mama was teaching her to sew. Beverly knew what would happen next. Harriet and Mama would talk sewing and ignore him. He aimed a kick at his little sister.
"Don't do that," he said. "Let's do something fun."
Harriet sat down on the stool beside the hearth. She beamed at Mama with what Beverly called her good girl smile, like she was trying to show off how sweet she was. Harriet was almost 4 years old. She was not a sitting still little girl, but sometimes she took a mood to act like one. Beverly reached out with his foot again. His toe grazed the end of one of Harriet's braids. Harriet screeched.
"Beverly," Mama said, not even looking up, "don't wake your brother."
"I didn't yell," Beverly said. "Harriet did."
"You're the one looking for trouble," Mama replied. "Do you need something to do?"
Beverly knew better than to say yes. Mama would make him do chores.
"No, ma'am," he said. "I guess I'll go visit Uncle Peter."
"Don't you bother him neither," Mama said, but she let him go.
Beverly went out the cabin and down Mulberry Row. The spring wind whipped the still bare branches of the mulberry trees. The packed dirt road felt cool and firm beneath his bare feet. Beverly spread his arms into the wild wind. He felt wild, too. The kitchen was halfway down the row in the basement of a little brick guest house. Uncle Peter, one of Mama's brothers, was the cook. Uncle Peter didn't hand out treats very often, but you never knew. It was mid-morning. If the folks in the great house hadn't been hungry at breakfast, there might be muffins left over. Beverly slid through the open door. On the hearth, Dutch ovens steamed in a row over piles of coals. Uncle Peter and the two girls that helped him stood behind the long table chopping vegetables. Uncle Peter gave Beverly an eye.
"What do you want?" he asked.
"Nothing,"
Beverly said. He edged closer to the table. There were muffins left. And slices of ham, too. Uncle Peter whapped Beverly's hand with the end of a towel. The girls laughed.
"Get out of here, Beverly," Uncle Peter said. 2 hours since breakfast. You can't be hungry yet."
"Can too," said Beverly.
But he went. Outside, the wind still howled. Beverly stopped and thought about what he wanted to do. He was too little to have a real job. Most days he helped Mama while she sewed in the cabin or visited his aunts and uncles or ran around the gardens or the orchards. Sometimes he walked with Mama to the great house where she checked to see that everything in Master Jefferson's room was all right. Master Jefferson spent most of the year in Washington. When he was gone, the great house stood empty. Besides taking care of Beverly and Harriet and Maddie, Mama didn't have much to do. Now Master Jefferson was home for a month, and everything had changed. He'd brought his grown-up daughter and all her children with him and invited friends to visit, so the house was full to bursting. Mama worked and worked. What's more, she stayed up at the great house every night. Beverly didn't mind the bustle, but whenever he thought about Master Jefferson, his stomach gave a little twist, almost like he was hungry. It twisted now. He wished Uncle Peter had given him a muffin. He looked to his left toward the woodshop. His Uncle John worked there, learning fancy carpentry from a white Irishman named Mr. Dismore. Beverly loved Uncle John, and he loved watching him make things out of wood, but he wasn't sure how he felt about Mr. Dismore. Unlike the overseers, Mr. Dismore was cheerful and funny, but he also sometimes said things like,
I don't want your pickaninnies hanging around my shop.
Beverly hated the word pickaninny. It sounded like something you'd stomp on if you saw it running across the floor. He was not, he thought, a pickaninny. Straight across the road was the smokehouse, locked so the hams couldn't grow legs and wander away. To the right was the blacksmith's shop. Beverly often went there to watch the nail boys work. He knew he'd be a nail boy himself when he was older. The nail boys made nails all day long. Tap, tap, tap. They cut nail rod into short pieces, then hammered one end of each piece long and pointy and the other square and firm. The nail boys' muscles stood out on their arms. Master Jefferson was proud of them. The only problem with visiting the blacksmith shop was Mr. Stewart. He was head blacksmith, a white man, and mean when he was drunk. Lately, he stayed drunk all the time. Only yesterday, Master Jefferson's daughter, Miss Martha, said it was about time she took matters into her own hands and showed Mr. Stewart the door before he grew careless in his inebriation and burned the blacksmith shop down. She said it was a good thing they had Joe Fawcett, or that place would be a ruin. Beverly'd heard her. He was good at hearing things. If you're smart, Mama often told him, you'll keep your mouth shut and your ears open. You're a smart boy, aren't you? Yes, ma'am, he'd say, proud that it was true.